Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock, and my guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. How you doing this morning, my friend? It's good to talk to you.
I'm good. I managed not to stay up too late at Mandela's victory party.
Were you there?
And so, yeah, I didn't. I was looking for you. I thought you were going to be there.
I was there.
Crowd.
We did a live remote from there.
That's what I thought, but I didn't see where it was.
It was upstairs. They had the television cameras downstairs.
I saw the TV, and I saw journalists coming from the upstairs. But anyway, oh well, I hope it went well.
Yeah, it did. Let me ask you, Dr. Craig, before we go to Mandela, what are your thoughts about Tim Michaels' victory over Rebecca Clefish? And is this the final nail in the coffin of the Scott Walker and Clefish, history?
So I think it's a huge deal. They've been holding off the Trump wing of the party, the establishment Republicans in the state, which is Walker, Clefish, Paul Ryan is part of that. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Bradley Foundation are the big financial backers of it that made it all possible. And they had actually held off Trump. Remember in 2016, Cruz won the Republican primary, right? So they were stronger than Trump here in 2016 when he entered the state, and he didn't win the Wisconsin Republican primary. He has now taken over because Tim Michaels, who was not this kind of person, was more of a kind of a lobbyist businessman, right? Who's been on all sorts of different sides, decide to make himself MAGA, which and all Donald Trump, their fearless leader, demands is fealty and loyalty regardless of your consistency, because he's not been consistent in his career either. And his price is you have to be willing to overturn the election. And Robin Voss and that their wing is willing to lean in and say it was rigged and say there's a lot of voter fraud and do a ton of voter suppression, but they're not willing to go quite that far. That's where Mike Pence is. Mike Pence was on the whole Trump bandwagon except for that last part, right? Just literally overturning the Constitution and the free election of U.S. presidents. So that is a huge deal. It means we have an all-MAGA top of the Republican ticket, and they showed the ability to increase turnout. Turnout was very high in this primary. It means we on our side, with Mandela and Tony Evers being top of the ticket, need to inspire the base because we know they can inspire their MAGA base. As far as the future of the establishment Republicans, I think they reinvent themselves. You know, Robin Voss, who almost lost, barely lost to a no-name candidate, barely beat a no-name candidate that Trump was behind in his primary, almost went down to defeat last night.
Right.
He's going to go after Michael Gableman, the disgraced former Supreme Court justice that is leading their fake election investigation.
He handpicked him,
then he endorsed, then Gableman went, who's a Trump guy, went and endorsed his opponent and did robocalls for him and campaigned for him. So now Voss has clearly signaled he's going to hold a meeting and fire Gableman. But I think Voss and company and the establishment Republicans are simply going to morph and find common ground with the Trump wing. I mean, you really think a Robin Voss dominated state assembly, because they've done the map, so they're guaranteed to have a super Republican majority regardless of the voters, right? If they have Tim Michaels as their governor, they're not going to pass everything he puts forward, and they're not going to cooperate. I just think so. I think it's a huge change, and I think it means that whatever bulwark the Walker wing of the party was against stealing the 2024 election is gone. So it's a huge strike against democracy. But I think they will find common ground and work together. And simply, and I believe the big business lobbies that are behind, and that's what you remember, these politicians like Robin Voss are simply front people. The real power is Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the other big business interests. They're going to want to get business done, and they're going to make a deal. And we will. And so it's just going to change the Republican Party. The Trump wing will be brought into the establishment. There'll be a merger. That's what I would predict.
Well. So now, Dr. Craig, I don't know how you measure. You know, we know what the Clefish and Walker legacy is. That's solid. We know who and what they are. We know who and what they are and what they've done. When you look at the other side,
I have mixed feelings. I have mixed feelings. I love seeing Clefish go down after all they've done, the working people in Wisconsin and education and to labor rights and everything. But then again, you know, they're being replaced by people who will end American democracy if given a chance.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm like, okay, I really shouldn't be celebrating, right? But I still can't say I feel badly for the Walker ring either. It's just sort of, it's like an ugh and oh my God, right?
So Dr. Craig, when we look at Tim Michaels and all you can hear him talk about is the same thing, no CRT. We've got to do more choice schools. We've got to bring the gas prices down. I mean, what else is there that he can talk about, Dr. Craig, that would lead you to believe that he's going to be the right person to lead the nation, the state forward?
It's not required for the MAGA base. That's the beauty of it. They don't. They've been revved up on hatred and racism and xenophobia to such a high pitch that they want to believe lies. It's not that they've been lied to. They're lies that make them feel good about the world and make them feel like the victim. And even if it's blaming the wrong people, they may be very frustrated in their lives, you know, their work lives, working for corporate America, and have their pensions and opportunity diminished. But they've decided to blame other people less powerful, and so this feeds into that. And so this stuff is all lies. He isn't going to do anything valuable for his own base, but that's not the demand of this base.
Right.
So that's why it is such a threat to democracy. Democracy does require that you actually you sort out various interests, like rural Wisconsin might have slightly different interests than urban Wisconsin, but they have a shared interest because actually they're economically dependent on each other. So that's what democracy used to work out. But when you have the rural voters who overwhelmingly voted for Michaels, what happened here is Clefish didn't get big enough margins in the Milwaukee suburbs and to overcome the rural areas. They're not going to get anything from Tim Michaels. They're just going to feel better about the decline of the areas they live in and their sense of their own lives.
Well, you know, Dr. Craig, that they may be accepting of that early on, but when they finally come to the realization that I got nothing for this, you know, by then
they come to that realization. We have to give them that realization, and they're not receiving it right now.
Okay.
Right? I mean, obviously, all the folks who supported fascism in the 20s and 30s in Europe, they ultimately had their lives destroyed by it, but they still went down that road. So at this point, really hardcore MAGA voters, we can't get. They're still kind of squishy in the middle. But the biggest thing is they've proven the ability to turn out in large numbers. That's why Trump did much better than all the polls suggested in both 2016 and 2020 in Wisconsin, because the pollsters underestimated their vote. So that's why Mandela Barnes winning is so important, because much more than Governor Evers, he can inspire all the people who don't vote in midterm elections, often only vote for president, maybe haven't voted at all, who have begun to believe that government can't do anything about their lives and improve their communities. and they need to be given inspiration and hope. Obviously, after that, we have to deliver. But at this point, Mandela Barnes is the best chance to inspire turnout on our side that can match the turnout we know the Michael Johnson ticket will get on the Republican side.
You know, Dr. Craig, you spoke about the turnout, I don't know, 26% or more, which they say is, you know, a large turnout for a primary.
Mordecai Lee was raving about the turnout, you know, the longtime political observer in UW Milwaukee.
Democrats, for the most part, it was a foregone conclusion, and so they certainly didn't turn out in large numbers because Mandela Barnes was the ticket for the most part. And I'm not saying that the local sheriff's race was not important, but it was Mandela Barnes who was already.
I agree, and Evers was unopposed.
Yes. So are you? Do you think that there's a chance that? Once Democrats now see, they know it's Ron Johnson, they know it's Tim Michaels, they know what they're up against, that we don't turn out in large enough numbers to offset that? Knowing what the outcome can be with Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson back?
Well, the drop-off voters are not monolithic. There are some that will be motivated because of Tim Michaels and Johnson and the threat to democracy, because of what's been done to women's constitutional rights under Roe v. Wade and other issues, there's another group that isn't motivated by that. I mean, there was a lot of drop-off between the 2012 election and the 2016 election. So that those group of voters, especially among younger minority voters, and younger voters generally, so they weren't scared enough by Trump to vote anyway. And that's because they didn't see the value in what Hillary would provide for them and their communities and their families. That's what we have. So that part of the vote. And, you know, there was a famous New York Times series where they did an article where they went to north side of Milwaukee and were going to the barber shops where a lot of people hang out. And they were saying, you know, it was really exciting to elect the first black president, and I really had a lot of hope. But, you know, things are even worse here now than they were 8 years ago, and so I didn't bother to vote. And that's real because the numbers show that happened, especially with younger African-American voters. The drop-off of young African-American voters from 2012 to 2016, so Obama's second reelection to Trump winning the state over Hillary Clinton, that itself, in a state where African-Americans are only 6% of the population, was larger than Trump's margin of victory. So it's going to matter a lot, and that's why, you know, Mandela is not only because of his life story and who he is that very helpful, not just for young African-Americans, but for young Democratic people in general, college students, a lot of white ones as well, but also he's beginning to talk in a much more populist way. He's leaning in more to his previous career, which is as a progressive. And I think that's critical because I think there's a lot of drop-off voters who need something to vote for, not just something to vote against.
You know, Dr. Craig, I was talking to somebody yesterday evening at the rally, and I said to them, when you look at Mandela Barnes, what you see is a kind of Barack Obama from the standpoint that he is a guy who can go into many different rooms and be accepted. And I think just anybody can't do that. He's a special kind of guy who is the right kind of guy for the moment. Would you agree? Dr. Craig, I don't know if we lost you or not.
I would totally agree. Sorry, I muted my phone.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Finding my mute button.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's okay.
When I first met him, when he was looking for jobs, young organizer, didn't have a job, he just stood out that way, right? He just sort of stands out in a room. And then you talk to him, he's such an affable, down-to-earth person. There's no real distance there. Very comfortable and at ease with everyone because, it's because the way he grew up. I saw his dad last night. he was brought up very well. And, you know, his dad, being a union UAW member, was working in a very multiracial working class setting, right? So that all, so that's why Mandela is comfortable across race and class, right?
Right. Right.
And so,
which you can't teach.
Absolutely.
You can't teach that. No,
and you know, Alex Lazary is to be commended for pulling out of the race. It was a very patriotic thing to do, but it's not Alex's fault the way he was brought up. But Alex was brought up with a lot of privilege, and
right.
So he hasn't developed. And I think Alex has proven himself to be a very good guy.
He's a good man.
Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying he does not have that extra, you know, for representative democracy that Mandela has. Mandela is a more progressive version of Obama, in that Obama's administration is mixed. Yes, he gave us the first major breakthrough in healthcare since the 1960s, but he also decided to bail out the banks and not the victims, not the 10 million eviction victims, and that has devastated Milwaukee. African American homeownership is still not caught up; it's still way behind where it was before that. Mandela is, you know, so he has Obama's appeal. Obama's become more progressive, actually, in his post-presidency, which is helpful to us right now. But I would just say that I think that he adds even more as far as what he would do for this community. His passion really is rebuilding the state of Wisconsin, making it everything it should be, including its largest city, Milwaukee, especially.
Yeah,
and
he can move in and out of the rural area and be accepted. Let's
Absolutely.
Go to the phone lines and Bill. Hey, Bill, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You have a question or comment for Dr. Craig?
Well, actually, I have a comment on the kind of the sidebar to what you're talking about. You mentioned Mandela being Obama-like. You're 100% right. And what Mandela has that a lot of politicians don't have, he can rise above it. He's not a guy to get in there and sling money.
You're right.
He'll rise above it. He'll stay on top of it. And if you want to know integrity, that's the definition of integrity. I'll let it go with that.
Hey,
thank you
hey Bill, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig?
I think that's right. He's able to transcend kind of the sandbox, right, or the mud pile.
Right.
And that's really important. People want that, and really gifted politicians can do that. And I think it's authentic. I think he really does see. He talked about in his victory speech last night that we have more in common than we have that divides us, and we need to come to see that. So part of the reason he's able to do that is because it's part of his worldview and vision, not just a kind of, you know, charismatic capacity. So I do think it's a little like, if you want to do a sports analogy, the ability of a Sugar Ray Leonard or a Muhammad Ali to not have to stand in the corner and just exchange blows, to move out of it and stay out of that kind of barroom brawl with their opponent if they want to.
You know, Dr. Craig, it's a great analogy, and we all know what's coming, and so if the worst they can do is say he didn't pay parking tickets, or he didn't pay his taxes on time. You know, whatever those things are, they're not monumental. They're not something that will prevent people from seeing who he is and who he's going to be running against.
Yes. Who he's running against there is critical. You just can juxtapose it. You can say, okay, I failed to pay some parking tickets because I was busy and I was young, right?
Right. Like we all were.
You decided to rig the tax code for you and your billionaire buddies and benefit directly and hold up the whole Trump tax cut to get special deals. You tried to deliver the fake electors to Mike Pence to intimidate him to overturn our election. Okay, I'll put that up against parking tickets anytime. And I think Mandela can also say, I mean, this almost sounds quasi-biblical, who among us does not have parking tickets?
you know, Dr. Craig, and then as recently as a week ago, wanting to impact Social Security and Medicare. You know, I mean,
it's
Ron
just
Johnson.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's a statement against interest, Earl. Why would a politician go over and grab with both hands the third rail of American politics? Conservatives have given up trying to jeopardize Social Security and Medicare decades ago. They used to do that after the New Deal and then after and then in the 60s, and it was devastating, so they've run away from it. It's a statement against interest. In other words, it doesn't help him politically. There's no political calculation here. It's not like the immigrant bashing and the Milwaukee bashing that goes on. So the only thing you can say is it must be what the man believes.
You know, Dr.
It seems like it's one of those when someone tells you who they are, believe them, right?
Yeah, you know, Dr. Craig, nobody ever said this is going to be easy. It's going to be a dogfight. But I honestly believe that Mandela Barnes has as good a chance as anyone could ever have of unseating, doing what is almost unimaginable, unseating a United States senator.
I agree. And he's unpopular. He's done incredibly awful things. And the history is Wisconsinites get tired of these kind of people after a while. Scott Walker couldn't get his second reelect, his third term. A number of other right-wing, like Kasten, Senator Kasten, right, wasn't able to do it, lost to Feingold, et cetera. So there's a real history of people finally, you know, getting the act wearing thin, right? I'm sick of that now. I'm ready to move on. The problem is, Earl, since Johnson is such a bad candidate for reelection, their only alternative is to go negative like we've never seen before, to make the Willie Horton ads look like child's play. And so we need to get ready for that. And it's going to be through dark money, where not directly from Ron Johnson, and God knows it's going to be the worst fascist attacks you can. I can't even imagine what they're going to be. We're just going to see.
But you know, Dr. Craig, Mandela Barnes is no Willie Horton. And whatever it is they attempt to dig up is clearly they're going to be stretching. We know who Mandela Barnes is, right? You know, he's been vetted enough.
We've got to get to all those voters who are going to hear that with an effective counter message on TV.
We're
not going to convince us, but I do think it could backfire if it's racialized enough, which it likely
will be. Which we know it will be.
Right. Could it inspire higher turnout in Milwaukee? It well might. So, and they're capable of making that mistake. They're very capable of it.
All right, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, let's talk a little bit about the gubernatorial race and where we are with that.
Well, we know that Tim Michaels, like Ron Johnson, who is the Trump candidate, is good at turnout, at good at ginning up their base. So I think that Governor Evers has been very good at being inoffensive, right? Not really being hated except by the right-wing base, which will hate anyone who is not them in power. Though it's bizarre when they keep talking about how radical he is and how when they, he somehow Rumbaugh defended us from his radicalism. It's radical to see the governor is radical. And he doesn't seem radical. I mean, he seems the opposite.
We know.
Political brand. So I think that obviously there are a few ticket splitters left that may be turned off by Tim Michaels, though the research shows that there's far fewer in Wisconsin than there used to be. They've disappeared to a large degree. They're more in the suburbs, and the further in, the better. In other words, it's the eastern part of Waukesha County, not the western part of Waukesha County, right, and so on, for the other suburban counties. I think that Governor Evers stands a good chance of winning if Mandela Barnes can generate more turnout, because people who vote for Mandela are going to vote for Governor Evers. In fact, they're not on the same ticket. Sarah Rodriguez was lieutenant governor candidate, but they are in many ways because they're the two top-of-the-ticket candidates. So best case is that they're perfect. It's a perfect combination, that Mandela can grow the Democratic electorate one way and Governor Evers the other way. And I don't know. It'd be bizarre if we had people who would vote for Johnson and then not vote for Tim Michaels or vice versa. But who knows? You will see. I don't think any divide is going to occur. So I think they have a very unified vote. I think it depends what people do. I think we need a lot of people to volunteer and talk to voters rather than just talking about democracy on Facebook or with people's friends or listening to how much threatened it is on media, including this show. People need to hit the doors and they need to, or phone banks or anything. And social media isn't enough because you're just talking to people that are already within your community. And we need a grassroots army because the billionaires are going to put on an air war in this state like you have never seen. It's going to be vicious, both against Mandela and Governor Evers. It's more threatening to Mandela because he's less well-known. It's going to be pretty hard to put horns on Governor Evers, so they will certainly try.
You know, Dr. Craig, it's a sprint. It's under 100 days. Is there enough time? You know, we're not talking about a 6-month period of time. It's under 100 days for these seats, for this election. And strategy, that's what you guys do at Citizen Action. Can that be brought together in enough time?
And we even ran our Get Out the Vote door program, volunteer in 5 parts of the state, even though Mandela was going to win the primary, just to exercise our muscles. Like everyone else, we need more of our members to volunteer. There's been a real kind of malaise because of COVID, right, where people have gotten out of the habit. And we need to get back in the habit. In fact, we probably lost some elections during COVID because the Democrats were more careful and followed the science and didn't go outside as much, and Republicans kept doing their door-to-door, actually, because they don't care how many people they kill, as we know, and it's not just COVID. And I'm willing to defend that statement if any right-winger wants to call up and talk about the ways they don't mind killing people, including the climate genocide they're trying to produce with runaway climate change just for short-term profit. But I would say that there's enough time because a lot of voters aren't going to pay any attention until after Labor Day. So this is the perfect time, and this is vacation time in Wisconsin, and this is not a presidential race. So there's a whole lot of voters who are not even tuned in yet, who are just about to be tuned in within a couple weeks. But we just need to take agency. In other words, we can sit back and critique, is Mandela's ad exactly what we think it should be, or is Tony Evers's? We can't control that, right? What we can control is how many voters are talked to, and face-to-face communication is much more impactful than electronic communication. Electronic communication reaches a lot more people. It's wholesale. But the face-to-face interaction can change people. You always, when you're running a canvas, hear stories back from staff and from members about, I found someone who was going to vote one way, and I talked to them, and now they're going to vote the other, and they're really excited, and they're going to join the organization. In other words, these conversations matter. We need hundreds of thousands of them.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is without question, as you stated, the billionaires are going to put the money in on the Republican side. But everything that I read is that Democrats are going to go all in on Mandela. And whatever resources is needed, this is the one race, the number one race that they're looking at, which to me is an amazing thing. And the importance of the state of Wisconsin, but it's an amazing thing to me to see that that this is getting ready to take place here. And however many resources are going to be needed, that I think the Democrats are going to spend them here.
It's become a feature of Wisconsin life. I mean, if you think about all, you know, the outdoor features and the unique cultural attributes of Wisconsin, right. One of them is we're a premier battleground state, and elections are a major occupation here, right? And much more than in the state, in states that are not battleground states.
Right.
Because they don't determine the balance of power. Our friends to the south in Illinois are bigger than we are, but they have very little influence on the balance of power at the national level. We're going to determine with the Senate race whether or not we have a voting majority that could actually pass all of President Biden's agenda, the one that two very conservative Democratic senators held up. And so this has become part of Wisconsin life. It affects organizations. I mean, we are much more set up for elections than a lot of our sister organizations in other states that are not battleground states, because that is part of being in Wisconsin, that we have a bigger sway. I would just say to everyone, because there's a lot, for anyone listening to your show, there's a concern about the future of democracy. The way to save democracy is to enact democracy. And democracy is more than voting. It's volunteering. It's coming together as a community in grassroots organizations, in voluntary associations. We used to be a nation of joiners. And getting this done, that's how we save democracy. And it's not about being critics on the just looking at our devices, looking at what's going on in social media.
You know, Dr. Craig, we are still a 50-50 state. And we haven't tipped over to the dark side yet, have we?
No, though it's amazing how, with their nose for power, the other side, how they've managed without having more than a 50-50 state to seize the state Supreme Court, to use that, to seize permanent control of the state legislature. So we have an undemocratic state legislature that is right-wing Republican, regardless of what the popular vote is in any particular election. What's the point? How is it democracy if that's allowed? A U.S. Supreme Court that sanctified that and said partisan gerrymandering is just fine. They're not going to worry about that. Unbelievable, right? So this court started making horrendous rulings before we had the horrendous overturn of Roe versus Wade. And they're probably next session going to overturn affirmative action in universities. That's on the docket. As well, they're taking that case. They're also going to consider whether state legislatures or the U.S. Supreme Court have supremacy and can simply decide elections. They took that case. We know it's coming up next session. And we're at a time where if you had Tim Michaels win in Wisconsin, if you had the woman Lake in Arizona win, if we lose Georgia, we could have enough governors who will simply name the election for Republicans 2024 that we won't have a fair presidential vote in 2024. Wisconsin will determine whether we can have fair elections in this country.
Dr. Craig, it's an amazing thought, but one that you don't have to think too hard, and that can happen. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Dr. Robert Craig is on the line. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Dr. Craig, what are you guys doing in in the short term, as you prepare for this 100 days that are going to be so critical to not only what you do, but to the entire nation?
Well, we've been trying, coming out of the pandemic, to build up our volunteer grassroots muscle. We've had a phone canvas going the whole time, but now we're getting on the doors and trying to get our members out of doors and back into that habit across the state, because we have membership chapters across the state called organizing co-ops. We did play a role in nominating some exciting candidates that will help us turn out more voters. I'm sure this is a race you're aware of. Darren Madison in a 10th Assembly District is the nominee, defeated the mayor of Glendale, a good union guy, Brian Kennedy. We're behind Darren. Darren is a very progressive, young, rising African-American politician. He's not elected yet. He's going to be now because it's a Democratic district. So now we'll work down ballot people like Darren Madison to keep working those doors and to turn out votes for the top of the ticket, right? Darren is not going to lose the general election, but he can play a huge role in talking to a lot of voters in the 10th Assembly District in Milwaukee and getting them out, because that district will vote overwhelmingly for Mandela Barnes and Tony Evers, but you have to get them all to vote, right, in a midterm election. So it is both our own volunteers, but also we tried in the primary very hard to elect candidates that would help drive turnout and run on good, bold agendas. Another example is we were behind Sarah Rodriguez, lieutenant governor, and she won. And she's a current member of the state assembly in the Milwaukee suburbs. She can provide to Governor Evers on health care what Mandela Barnes did on climate. That's her background. She's really strong on health care issues and the affordability of health care, dealing with the cost and coverage crisis facing all middle class and working class Wisconsinites. And so I think that can really help Governor Evers, and that will help a lot in this election because we may not think this election's about health care. A lot of the inflation issue is about health care inflation. That's one of the biggest costs, unaffordable costs, facing working families in the state of Wisconsin.
You know, Dr. Craig, one thing for sure, you guys know how to organize. And you talked about defeating Brian Kennedy. Brian Kennedy has great name recognition.
He's a good guy. It's just Darren Madison brings more to the table for us at this time in our history. But yeah, but Brian was a mayor. You're right, and well known.
Is
a mayor.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Craig. These issues that you watch what's happening in Mar-a-Lago, and you watch the attack and the assault on the FBI, and I was talking this earlier about the hypocrisy, and now Marjorie Taylor Greene says defund the FBI, and that's okay. But if somebody says something defund the police, you know, it's treasonous. And yet people on the other side can say all manner of things, Dr. Craig, and somehow you can't tie them into the things they say. And because they don't want to be held accountable for the things that they say, but everything somebody else says, you got to be held accountable for all of those things. And I just don't know, Dr. Craig, our society will never get better as long as we keep having standards like that.
Right. They have created a completely separate worldview where, you know, night is day and day is night. It's another world. So, you know, Forrest Gump's mother in the movie, he reports, says, stupid is as stupid does. You got to start thinking here that fascist is as fascist does, I would say, to paraphrase Gump's mother. So, they've already sold the MAGA base, the QAnon folks, on this deep state conspiracy. So now, and with them as the victims, and Trump as the victim, like they're the victims in our society, and it played right into that. And, you know, Merrick Garland is playing by the rules, the U.S. Attorney General. He's not going to make press statements. He's not going to say what he's doing in this investigation. So Trump is able to fine it for his own base, and it is ramping up turnout. You know, I heard Brandon Buck, the former communication director for Paul Ryan, so no friend of mine ideologically, but also not a Trumper, right? Paul Ryan was more in the Walker wing, right? Or maybe his own wing of the party. He said this guarantees much higher turnout because this has revved up the MAGA base. It guarantees that Trump will get into the presidential race early and makes it much more likely he'll be the nominee. And so we have to be aware of the fact that doing the right thing, investigating this president, also is going to have consequences in that they will use it effectively politically, and Fox News will gin that up, which means we have to up our game and work really hard to bring out our voters and to give them something to vote for, which is what we're working on and what Mandela Barnes brings to the table. So you have to do it, Earl, but you have to understand the consequences that they're able to actually gin up their base. It probably helped Tim Michaels in this primary that happened the day before. I was talking to experienced political operatives at Mandela's Victory Party where they were telling me Rebecca Clayfish is going to win. I said, I don't know. I think the MAGA base is turning out for Tim Michaels, and the FBI raid is going to gin that up even more. And look, Voss almost lost the powerful assembly speaker to a candidate no one had ever heard of until a couple of weeks ago. So that tells you how strong this current is. We need to defeat it. Now, you can only imagine, I mean, for the truth, let's mention the truth, man, Earl, that is a careful man like Merrick Garland, the attorney general. What kind of evidence and threat they have to have been presented with in order to go forward with having an FBI raid of a former president's house, right, or mansion. Frankly, you can only imagine what it is there, what he has as far as top secret documents, and what they're afraid he's going to do with them. What nuclear secrets is going to sell to Putin? That's the level of probably what it is.
Well, you know, Dr. Craig, whatever it is, we aren't going to know, right? This is
that's right.
And so that in itself is going to play into the hands of the Republican Party and people who say, well, you know, we're not going to know what those documents are. Those are classified documents. How do you defend that?
We have to proceed. I think that President Biden's choice of having a very non-political attorney general is looking smart right now in that he is investigating things, but we know only the MAGA base is really going to believe that he's being orchestrated by politics and by the White House. So we're just going to have to defeat them at the polls, Earl. We can't. The Trump children are saying that he likes to keep press clippings and things like that, and, you know, and some personal letters. You really think Merrick Garland and a federal judge are authorizing a raid of the Mar-a-Lago estate over some newspaper clippings?
But Dr.
You really
Craig,
think that?
It doesn't matter what we think about it, because these other people on the other side do. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Abalone, yes, sir.
Oh, hi, Earl. I was wondering if your guest is familiar with Joe McCarthy and Roy Cohn's use of top secrecy. They used hearings to disclose top secrets. And when I heard you talking about whether or not the public will ever learn about these documents as secrets, there's a book written, I think it was written in 1962, called Days of Shame. It was written by Senator Potter from Michigan. And he discloses that in the middle of one of these hearings that Joe McCarthy was ranting, he outs an entire forward listening base I think it was in New Hampshire. There were 20,000 employees on this base. And Joe McCarthy starts talking about whether or not there are communists on this base. Well, this was a top secret base, and he does it on live TV. And so the senator, Potter, is actually wondering whether Joe McCarthy was a communist, because he was basically outing all sorts of top secrets in the middle of hearings. As he was grilling people, he was basically disclosing secrets. And we've seen this recently with Jim Jordan, I think it was Rand Paul. He was trying to get the defense secretary to talk about hypersonic weapons and how whether or not the United States has hypersonic weapons now. And so it's this idea that these phonies, these lying phony Republicans, pretend to be conservatives, but they basically are outing top secrets in live television.
I'm sorry we ran out of time. Thank you, Dr. Craig. I wish we